Welcome to the Vegan Business Revolution podcast from Vegan Business Tribe with myself, David Pennell, where each episode I am joined by one of our Vegan Business Tribe members to showcase the width, the breadth, and the diversity of the vegan business scene. Now, unlike our main podcast, this is raw and unfiltered, so I won't be doing any editing. I'm bringing you this discussion as it's recorded, and we do have a time limit of 20 minutes on the interview, which we might struggle on today when you see who I'm talking to. But if you want to read, quiet Sue, we've not come to you yet, but if you want to read more inspiring interviews, but also check out our new book on Amazon, which is called Vegan Business Revolution. And that's a collection of 35 in-depth discussions with vegan business owners that we originally interviewed for Vegan Food and Living magazine. But now they are published for the first time, all in one place in their full unabridged glory. So today I am joined by one of our Vegan Business Tribe members, and it is Susan Joyce from Little Green Pigeon. So tell me, Sue, what is your vegan business?
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me. So our business, we are a community interest company that funds our pigeon sanctuary. But it's as simple as that. So we're a business, not a charity, and every penny that we raise goes to the sanctuary to pay for the birds in our care.
Absolutely amazing. So we're going to go quite depth into that as time allows today. But I want to know about you first. So I'm really interested to know about your own vegan journey. And how did that tie in with you starting a vegan business and then the sanctuary?
I've had a couple of businesses in the past. My background, I worked in veterinary practice for quite a long time. And then I had a dog walking. I've always been vegetarian, had a dog walking business, had an accident, and so I had to pivot, change the business to a dog daycare centre, and just wasn't experienced enough, lost it, so I had to go back into practice. I had a business before that I haven't mentioned, which was a wedding stationery business, and that was my first business that was full profit, and that was very, like, unethical. That was making loads of, you know, it was nice, it was wedding stationery, but anyway, nothing to do with veganism, nothing to do with animals. But I guess the last for-profit business and this one, obviously all about animals, but in a different way. So I went back after I broke my, well, damaged my back really badly, went back into working in veterinary practice. And because I was not disabled, but really couldn't do a lot, couldn't stand in theatre all day. So I worked at the front of the practice. And that was the first time when I saw birds coming in and being with from members of the public, and just the reception staff just not knowing what to do. And actually the other staff not knowing what to do either. So I spoke to the gaffer and he was like, yeah, fine. You know, if you want to look after the birds, you can do. And at the time, my son was really keen on birds. So he helped me. He was about six or seven at the time. We just started looking after birds at home. So, that just sort of carried on for years, really. And during that time, I wasn't vegan at the time to start off with. And then during that time, because we're going back, so just before I went vegan, we're going back 15 years. During that time, he came home from school one day, always been vegetarian, and he's been vegetarian since birth, came home from school and just went, we're not doing enough. We've got to be vegan. And I remember saying, yeah, we are, we're fine. Like, I've always been vegetarian all my life. What are you talking about? I was one, you know, we were all there, weren't we? And yeah, and he just said, no, watch this. Because of course he's, you know, he was that age. He was all over the internet. He said, and he made me watch a video. I couldn't tell you what it was about. I've no idea, but it was showing the dairy industry. I couldn't tell you what it was rather, but yeah, it was about dairy. And I remember going to the fridge, getting the cheese, getting the milk, and just throwing them, just like, no, that's it. Everything's going. And it was that night. And then carried on working in the practice for a long time, another 10 years while looking after the birds. And then got to the stage where I was looking after so many birds, I couldn't work full time and look after the birds. So I left, and that's when I set up as a sole trader. And I was lucky financially at the time that I didn't need to work. I'd not long got married. And I was in a very fortunate position that I didn't need to work for financial reasons. So that's where I became a sole trader. And then I met you guys, and you introduced me to the amazing Keith Lesser and James at Some Vegan Accountants. And it was them that said to me, look, you're a year in now. I think you need to make a decision. Are you going to be a charity or a CIC? And they advised me to go down the route of CIC.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Yeah. So you, I mean, you kind of fell into all this. I don't think it was ever a conscious decision to be where you are now.
In my life.
Absolutely. But your business journey, it has been absolutely tied in with your personal journey too.
Yeah.
I know you very quickly glossed over some of that, but I think you've had to move a sanctuary something like three times now. That's meant moving yourself too. But you've also, you know, almost faced bankruptcy. You've almost been homeless a couple of times. So I've got to ask the question, Sue. Why do you do it?
I haven't got a clue. I don't know. I think I'm a workaholic. There's no two ways about it. I love work, and I think because I've always loved animals, even though I haven't always been vegan, working in practice was a joy. You know, that is a job that I absolutely loved. I do disagree with that now, however, and I'm actually against people having pets just because of that industry as a whole. And I know the world can't operate without vets and veterinary nurses, but I don't believe that we should be having pets anymore from an ethical point of view, but also from an environmental point of view. I don't think we should, but that's a whole other podcast. You're absolutely right. I just think, unfortunately, I'm one of those people that I just kind of stumble around from one thing to the next. And I guess I've got a drive and I'm incredibly stubborn. I am a person that I literally will bite my nose off, spite my face. I've done it many times, many, many times. It's just the way I am. Nobody gets a second chance to me. And I just move on.
So. And that's what you need to be a sanctuary owner. But the next thing I think that I want to bring into that conversation was there was a short period of time when you were described by the Daily Mail newspaper, I think it was, as the UK's most hated vegan. So what did you actually do to gain that badge of honour?
Oh, so about two and a half, three years ago, I was after some staff to help me when I still had my land and I still had my lovely sanctuary in Staffordshire before things happened and I moved out to Wales, and I needed some staff. So I've had employees before. I've had six employees at businesses in the past, so it doesn't worry me having employees. So I just went ahead, put an advert on Indeed, put it on Facebook as well and the socials, because why not? I'm doing that at the moment, actually, after an employee at the moment, and it's the same thing. Somebody on Facebook picked it up. Ironically, it was a Welsh farmer who is now vilified by most vegans and I think hated by most farmers as well, because he's a pain in the arse. But he somehow picked up on it and it just ran riot. But I didn't know any of this until the Daily Telegraph phoned me and said, can we get a comment on this story? And I was like, thought it was a hoax. I was like, what are you talking about? And then the Sun phoned me, and then the Daily Mail phoned me, and then I was getting emails, and then it all just kicked off. And it was because I said the person that worked for me had to be vegan and I would not back down. And I had many, many, many arguments online and I did interviews and all sorts went on. It just went absolutely nuts. And there was so much negativity, and I really thrive on that. I love it when people are having a go at me. I love confrontation. So I absolutely was in my element, because I'm not afraid to make myself look like a wally. So I have no inhibitions, and I don't, well, not really many, and I don't really care what people think of me. I care what they think about my actions as far as veganism and how I look after the birds. But what they actually think of me, couldn't care less, could not care less. So I just went all out and made an absolute, kind of everything negative. I turned it round and just let it run riot. And I was extremely silly about a lot of things, and it just kept going and going and going.
So do you think that helps? Because, I mean, there is always that saying that there's no such thing as bad publicity. So did that actually help? Did it help the sanctuary as such?
Yeah, absolutely helped. Yeah, really helped. We got loads more followers on social media. We got a lot more engagement sort of through our website. We had more sales. We had donations. Yeah, it really, really helped. And I got two lovely employees. And luckily, I have a really good sense of humour, because they were coming into the business thinking, she's an absolute plonker. Like, what am I doing? But you know, understanding that life is chaos. My life is absolute chaos. It always is. But that's because I won't back down. So if somebody, you know, I'm the same now, as much as I don't have, same as yourself, David, I work like from silly o'clock in the morning till silly o'clock at night. But if somebody starts something on Instagram, I will have the last word, and I will go and go and go and go and go for days with comments about veganism, and I won't let it. And in the end, they just go off, for goodness sake. And I'm like, yes, I just have to have the last word.
I don't know what you mean about me working all. I only work 4 hours a day. I'm an entrepreneur, you know. Yeah. Okay. I know exactly where you're coming from there. Just talking about, and I want to come back to social media in a minute, because you've done extremely well with social. But another bit of exciting news just about Little Green Pigeon and the sanctuary, I think we can talk about now. It's the work that you've been doing with Peter too, or the people for ethical treatment of animals, because Little Green Pigeon, it's now got royal connections, I believe, too.
Yeah, I was so excited about this. Just out of the blue, didn't expect this, had a phone call in December last year from Kate Werner from PETA, who is, I can't remember her job title. I'm really sorry, Kate, if you see this, I can't remember her job title, but she's brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant. And basically, they were really cagey about it to start off with. They wouldn't really tell us what was going on, but just said, if we need you to, could you have three pigeons? And of course, it's Peter. I was like, yeah, absolutely. Have we got space? Yes, we have. Yeah, of course, we can help you. Didn't hear anything for ages. And it was because what actually happened was they had to make sure that my vegan ethics were right and check out the sanctuary, basically. That was what was going on. And then she came back to me about a month later and just said, right, we are going to auction, or a benefactor of Peter is going to auction, purchasing for charity three of the King Charles's pigeons and taking them, and they're going to come to your sanctuary for life. They're very young birds, they're about 6 months old, to get them out of the racing industry. And the idea of that is to get some publicity. And we're writing to King Charles and saying, please come away from pigeon racing because it is a blood sport. And we want you to step away because he is the patron of the Pigeon Racing Association in this country, and we want him to step away from it, as well as we want him to stop breeding birds. He's got his own flock at Sandringham, and we just want him to step away. So I was so thrilled to be asked by Peter. You know, it just such an honour, really, to help them because they do such amazing work. Yeah, and then obviously that's led to arguments online, which I love, so, and a little bit of publicity for us as well. So it's not gone absolutely bonkers, but now it's all out. We can sort of really start chipping away at that now, and I think there's a plan next month to have a bit of a go and get some publicity for that, because Peter did their bit and we're going to do our bit now. But we had to wait. Obviously, it's their thing, so we had to wait for them to come out with it all. So yeah, it's been really nice, and they've been amazing to work with. They're absolutely fantastic people.
And I think, you know, I mean, that's one of the real positives of something like an animal sanctuary. When I speak to a lot of our Vegan Business Tribe members, I think the biggest dream that most of them tell me they've got is this idea to, you know, earn enough money to buy some land, open an animal sanctuary. But I don't think that...
Well,
that's what I was going to say, because I don't think people actually think enough about our relationship with animals, and especially wildlife, because we've taken most of the natural environments away from animals. So yeah, if you're going to give those animals a home and look after them, that means you need to provide everything from, you know, food to medication. So do you think most people realise how much it costs to eat, even home just one animal or bird at a sanctuary like
this? No, and actually, do you know what? If I could just look after the animals all day, the best job in the world. It's dealing with people. It's dealing with the people that takes the skill. And I'm lucky that with my background, I'm proud of the way I do deal with people. But again, I get loads of bad press because I won't keep my mouth shut. It happened. We had a storm at the sanctuary, which devastated our sanctuary when we moved to Wales. We lost our land in Staffordshire. I was getting divorced. We lost our land. And then I was made homeless for the second time. Hooray. So I had to move everything to Wales and basically live in a truck with the pigeons. Well, I didn't have the pigeons in the truck, obviously. and then I've been living in a scabby old caravan on some land out here, which is not what I expected to be doing when I'm 50, but that's how my life goes. So it's all about the birds, isn't it? So you do it. People watched that. They got really involved with that journey. And then we had a storm that was not expected. We were in a very, very high hill in Wales, and it just destroyed the sanctuary. And actually, about 50% of the people that followed me, and people I know, and people in the bird sanctuary world, because they're a real clicky lot, were so supportive. There were people that had driven through the night, like Jenny Mason from Safe Haven. Her business is called Vegan Haven. She's an amazing vegan business. Very similar to this. She's got a shop, she's got a website, she funds her own bird sanctuary. Really similar, but she's brilliant with birds. She's my go-to person. She's absolutely amazing. I don't really know anything. I just have to ask Jenny everything. She drove through the night, 6 hours. She was there by 8 o'clock in the morning helping me sort stuff. And it was amazing. And it was just heartwarming because I was just devastated, absolutely devastated. And financially, it costs a lot of money that I haven't got. But the other side of that was the criticism I had online for having inappropriate aviaries, when actually what had happened basically was a storm. And those sort of storms have been happening more and more frequently, as you know, and other sanctuaries have now experienced that. But because I was the first one that really had happened to, as far as I know, I got so much criticism online for not being prepared. And again, you just think the hatred from within that, but none of the hatred came from vegans. It was all from people who run sanctuaries and yet aren't vegan. And it's just, they're really, really mean. I'm really sorry if you can hear that. It's the people, the joys of running a business. There's a flat upstairs and some kids are screaming. There must be playing on the computer.
So. I thought it was a cat, but we'll go. Like I said, this is live, unfiltered, unedited. So yeah, we can enjoy the screaming in the background as well. So, but sir, I just want to pick up on one point you said there, because you said that cost a lot of money that you just didn't have. And when I speak to animal sanctuaries owners, they tell me that, you know, almost the majority of their waking hours is taken up by fundraising. So how do you do it? How do you come up with that money?
I've never known a year from a not-for-profit, but from a for-profit point of view, I've never known a year like this. And this was last year. So you just work as hard as you can. I mean, you are right. I would much prefer that I was spending more time looking after the birds, and that isn't the reality. And in Staffordshire, I had a group of volunteers, so I had more time for fundraising. When I came out here originally, I was on my own, and it is you don't do anything else other than think about how to raise money. That's it. That's all you can think about from the second you wake up to the second you go to sleep is how, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? What can I sell? What can I do to promote? It's constant. And it's been incredibly difficult. I'm not going to lie. Like last year nearly broke me, like mentally nearly broke me. I'm just very lucky that I've got a bunch of good people around me that they're far away because they're where I lived before, but they were very supportive. And then a guy called Matt, basically, who wanted to help the sanctuary, saw me struggling and basically gave up his job and moved out here as well because he's insane. And that's really helping as well because he's now been able to rent a house so I can live in the house. And yeah, it's we're clawing our way out. But yeah, from a fundraising point of view, it's just what can I sell? What can I make? How can I, you know, can you sponsor a pigeon? Can I send out goodie boxes? It's just constantly trying to think of new things to get people interested. And I think every sanctuary has the same thing. But I do also think, and I feel like a bit of a git saying this, but with some sanctuaries, and I know this is true because I've got lots of friends in the sanctuary world, when you've got a lab, when you've got sheep or cows, they're cuddly and they're quite photogenic. When you've got pigeons, even though my sanctuary costs a lot less to run than theirs does, like I look so much less to run, my overheads are tiny compared to somewhere like Beneath the Woods. My overheads for the year are probably what hers are for the month. That's no exaggeration. I need to earn £50,000 a year to keep my sanctuary afloat. That's it. I know that Sasha at Beneath the Woods, she's probably looking at £40,000 a month for all those pigs she's got up there. So I am tiny, 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 tiny financially. But here's the thing. People don't like pigeons and they don't understand why pigeons need help. And that's even vegans don't understand. So actually, a lot of my fundraising is me talking to people, doing outreach. Like we go and talk at the Girl Guides and the WI and the you know, all these different places just to try and make people understand why pigeons need help.
Now I'm gonna jump in just to take up one point that you've said there, because one thing that I mentioned earlier you've been really good at is social media, and I think you introduced me to a new term a while back. It was either called Pigeon Talk or Insta Pigeon or something like that. But you know, I mean,
I love TikTok.
I've looked through, you know, your TikTok videos, and some of those videos have got, you know, hundreds of thousands of views.
So,
just explain how you've used social media to promote your business.
So I am lucky that my son is 21. And taught me how to. I was on Instagram, didn't really know how to use it, but I was, you know, mucking about and getting there. I can't drive Facebook. I cannot understand Facebook at all. I don't understand it, but most things convert through to there, and I just let that do what it likes. And actually, I find all the mean people are on Facebook, so I tend to just ignore it, whereas all the nicer people are on Instagram. And then about a year ago, Purse, my son, introduced me to TikTok. Oh my life. I love it. I could spend hours on TikTok. And luckily, because of what I do for a living, I do set aside an hour every day just for Instagram and TikTok. I have to. And I actually probably spend longer on there sometimes. But yeah, TikTok, absolutely brilliant. There is a whole, once your algorithm gets into it, there is a whole thing of Pigeon Talk, and it is just huge accounts of people with pet pigeons, pigeon sanctuaries all over the world, pigeon rescuers. There's some really good people on there. The frustration I've got at the moment is Instagram. I've done fairly well on Instagram. I'm getting there. That converts really well into sales. TikTok does not convert into sales. I'm really struggling with that. So we've got just under 7,000 followers on TikTok. And you're right, some of our videos on there have got 400,000 views. Some of them have got over 1,000 likes, which is quite good for a small account. But they don't convert. It's very rare it converts. The only way I can tend to see that conversion is to encourage them to go on my Insta. And then for some reason, those 7 people will get to the website. So there's a funnel. It's just a funnel like this.
It's not a straight line through, is it? No. Now, Sue, unfortunately, we are coming up to time here. And it's a little bit of a shame because I think we could keep going for hours on this one.
I
know you could, Sue. But while we're just coming up to time, we've got exactly 6 seconds left. So the last question I want to ask is a very quick one, just about what you've learned on your journey. So what's the one piece of advice you give to somebody else, either running a vegan business or who's thinking about opening a sanctuary?
If you're thinking about opening a sanctuary, have some money behind you if you can, and just speak to as many sanctuary owners as you can and listen to what they say, because it is the most rewarding job, but the hardest thing I have ever done, ever. And join Vegan Business Tribe, because you guys have been absolutely amazing. Like, a lot of the reason why I've done well on social media is because of the people I've met through you guys on the way. You're brilliant. I can't ever thank you enough, David.
Oh, Sue, that's lovely of you to say. I haven't paid you to say it. No, but finally, so if people want to find out more about your sanctuary and your business, or they want to buy something from you, what do they do? Where do they go?
They can go on my fabulous website, which is littlegreenpigeon.co.uk. Everything's Little Green Pigeon. Facebook, Insta, TikTok. We're all just at Little Green Pigeon. And you can get to there from the website, which is littlegreenpigeon.co.uk.
That is brilliant. So thank you, Sue. This has been an absolutely wonderful discussion, as it always is with you. And remember, if you are looking for more great business advice, you can also catch our main Vegan Business Tribe podcast, and that's on Spotify, Apple, YouTube. I think we also put some stuff out on TikTok as well, or wherever you get your pods. But also check out our new book, Vegan Business Revolution, which is available on Amazon. And if you want to be part of an amazing community of vegan business owners where you will meet people like Sue, then please do consider joining our Vegan Business membership community over on veganbusinesstribe.com. Sue, and Sue, give us a final, because you've got to have the last word, give us the last word.
Okay. I want to go home and have my dinner.
So thank you so much for joining us, and I'll see you on the next one. Oh, you're terrible, but we did it in 20 minutes. There we go.